Support for NPR comes from America's Natural Gas Alliance, whose members are participating in an online registry providing drilling information to the public. FracFocus.org.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the ninth day of February 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets and this morning's USDA report with Dan Zwicker at ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. We'll follow that up with a discussion of the cash grain market. TGM's Matt Bennett should be on hand, although he's kind of double-booked and may very well still be speaking to the Illinois Ag Leadership Foundation class about international travel. But the class and Matt are right here on campus, just south of us today. No matter, we'll either talk to him or not, and it'll still all be good. Also, during this half hour, Lisa Braltz will bring us a brand new edition of In My Backyard. Peter Levitt will be here to talk about the agricultural weather forecast, and I'll ask you, I know more than once, to dial in your pledge of support for the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In Chicago, on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day lower after USDA's report this morning. July wheat at $6.55 and a quarter, down 13 and a quarter. That's actually the May contract. July at $6.68, down 11. The harvest month in Kansas City finished at $7.07 and a quarter, down 17 cents. Of course, that's the July contract. Back in the corn pit from Chicago at the CME Group, nearby March at $6.37, down 5.5 cents. May corn future, $6.41.5, down 6.5. And July contract, $6.45.75, down 6.5 cents. September futures, 3.75 lower at $5.93. And December corn at $5.68, down 5.5 cents. March contract, $5.79.5, down 5.5 as well. March soybeans on the day at $12.27.5, down 4. The May at $12.36, down 4. July, $12.45.75, down 4. August beans, $12.44, down 4. And September, $12.39.5, 2.5 cents lower. The November contract at 12.38.5, down a penny and a half. January futures of next year, 12.44.5, down 1.25. Bean meal at 3.21, 70 cents lower. Bean oil at 52.54, down 4 cents on the afternoon. Live cattle futures finished the nearby February at 125.17.5, down 60. April down 60 at 128.20. March feeders at 155.15, down 12.5 cents. And the April lean hogs at $89.65 finished 70 cents higher. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's the outside markets as they're trading at this hour. On a delay, of course. Crude oil futures, March contract, $99.79, up $1.08 a barrel. Ethanol at 223 and a tenth, that's 0.7 cents higher. Natural gas at 247 and a tenth, 2.3 cents higher. And the diesel fuel or heating oil at $3.21, just about 2.1 cents higher. Gold futures on the day at $1,739. $9.70 higher, and the dollar at 78.55. That's down 0.09. The CRB index, the Commodity Research Bureau index, at 315.50 is down 0.08 for the day. The weather forecast, as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon, says that we will see partly sunny skies, a high of 36 degrees with a west-southwest wind between 5 and 10 miles an hour. That wind, of course, will gust all the way to 16 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 28 with a southwest wind at 8 to 10. And Friday, scattered flurries. That's right, flurries, partly sunny. Still a high of 37 degrees, so they won't stick. North-northwest winds between 9 and 15, gusting to 32, rather to 22. And Friday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 14 degrees. The wind chill values between 0 and 10. It's going to feel cold. North wind at about 15 miles an hour, gusting to 22. Saturday, mostly sunny skies, a high of 23. North-northwest winds at 11 to 14. They'll gust to 20. And Saturday night, mostly clear, a low of 12 degrees. Sunday, sunny and high, with a high of 29. And Sunday night, partly cloudy with a low of 19 degrees. By the time we get to the start of the work week, partly sunny skies, a high of 34. Monday night, a chance of snow, cloudy, and a low of 27. Tuesday, mostly cloudy and 40 degrees. Tuesday night, cloudy and 30. Wednesday, mostly cloudy and 43. We'll have more on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Pete Levitt at about the weather forecast around the planet.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. We'll get with Dan Swicker in just a moment. In studio with us, though, this afternoon, your Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media, Dave Dickey, to tell us about an important message in this month of February. From time to time, Dave, we come to our audience on both our public and commercial radio station affiliates and say, you know what, we need a bit of money. From time to time, we need your help financially, and it's not because it's just because of the way this happens. It's public radio, and it's funded in part by those people who listen.
In fact, a big part of it, over 40%, comes from listeners just like you. Want to go on a mystery tour with you just for a moment? Imagine for a second that you are trying to research for yourself all that you need to know about agriculture in a single work day. You'd have to spend hours a day with your DTN machine or variation thereof. You'd have to scour the nation's agricultural publications for market-moving news, make one phone call after another to analysts, brokers, meteorologists, lawmakers, both on the state and federal levels. You'd have to invest in real-time quotes, and you'd have to call elevator after elevator throughout the country to get your cash grain quotes and analysis. Todd, it's a lot to do. But here at Will Ag, we do all that work for you so that you can have the time to concentrate on your farm operations. We know a lot can happen in a single day. Last month we saw us go on this day when we had the WASD report out, limit down in corn. But you can count on AM 580 to bring the day's news in focus for you. And your dollars make it possible for us to keep you up to date and informed so you can make smart marketing decisions. Won't you join us in partnership right now? The number to call is 217-244-9455. Your contribution right now will help an 80-year, Todd, commitment to agricultural radio programming here at WILL. 217-244-9455. We've heard from 42 pledgers so far today. Over $4,800 has been raised. Will you be the next? 217-244-9455.
Absolutely. 217-244-9455. Pledge your financial support to WILL, the Illinois Public Media Network, all the places that bring you the Closing Market Report, Commodity Week, and that programming that you find on our website at willag.org. It's WILLAG.org. And as an extra kick right now, if you do this, the folks at the Common Ground Food Co-op will do something really nice. They will make sure for every pledge that eight meals are donated to, the amount of dollars, that is donated to the Eastern Illinois Food Bank. So call in right now. It really helps us, and it'll help all of the folks across Eastern Illinois that need your help that can get that help from the food bank. So please do that. Our thanks to the Common Ground Food Co-op. You might want to stick around if you're capable of listening to the home station throughout the whole hour this afternoon. Later in the second half of the hour, we'll have folks from the food bank here as well as those folks that are from the Common Ground Food Co-op. Now, here's the reason you come to see us and the reason you probably want to open that wallet up to 217-244-9455. Dan Swicker is on board with us this afternoon from ADM Grain Group to take us through what happened in the marketplace today. Analysis is the core of what happens with our programming. Dan is a big part of that and has been for several decades now. Dan, thank you so much for taking the time. We're not calling you on your normal number today. Where are you?
Well, right now I'm outside of Danville. I've been up in Wisconsin the first part of the week, did some meetings here in Lafayette, Indiana today, and and on my way back to Decatur. So that's where I'm at right now.
Well, have a safe drive. I know that it sounds pretty much like you're just pulled off to the side of the road, and I know you well enough that you are, so I won't ask that again.
Yeah, I am pulled off on the side of the road. I am on a ramp.
All right, so if you're on a ramp, if you happen to know Dan Hong, could you go by? How about that? So Dan, we've got some numbers this morning that were pretty interesting. The export number for corn actually increased along with a decrease that came in the amount of production that was coming out of Argentina. So we had a 50 million change in the export for corn, and USDA decided our ending stocks ought to drop as well. Not by quite that much, but they dropped into 801 million bushels. You might have thought that would have been good for the marketplace, but it didn't play out that way through the afternoon, did it?
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, yeah, we did have the charts ain't going to look too good tonight. I don't necessarily know what our high was today, but I do know I think we were up 8-9 cents for a while, and then we ended up closing here about a nickel lower. So, yeah, we're going to have some wide ranges. My guess is we'll probably finish out the week inside today's range tomorrow, and then we'll take a look at next week. But for the most part, the report was pretty neutral. I don't think the trade really anticipated much of a increase in export demand. I think they maybe thought maybe we would see 50 million bushel increase in ethanol grind. But whatever the case is, we did get our 800 number, kind of what the trade was looking at. I still have, I think the feed usage number is suspect. But we're not going to see any changes in that until we see what the stock's first number was at the end of March, and then we'll have an implied feed disappearance to maybe to kind of work off of. But I think all in all, the corn balance sheet's probably going to get a little tighter yet. I think today we're buying grain from the farmer. I do know that. The last week or two here, we have seen a steady diet of cash grain moving into the pipeline. It's that time of year. A lot of farmers like to sell grain. Got March 1 cash rents coming up. We've got income taxes coming up, and some people like to move it before the roads get posted. So this is normal seasonal weakness. I think if you remember back a little ways when you worked with me way back when, I think we had our pick and low sometime in middle February. So this is normal seasonal weakness, and then the market has a tendency then to regroup and rally as it goes into the early part of the growing season.
You mind if I take time and pick your brain just a bit about cash basis? Do you know what you're over in Decatur today? Do you know what the bid is?
I don't know. I haven't looked at it. I know we've been in that 30 over mark, but it could have softened a little bit. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
And at this time of year, it's what? Normally 20 under, so there's a 50-cent spread between what is normal and what is this year. Is that correct or pretty close?
Well, yeah. We're significantly above what one would call average, I guess, for Central Illinois.
Right.
But the main reason, at least I think, or a large part of that is that Central Illinois, the buying area within 60 to 75 miles of Decatur, probably got hit the hardest the last couple of years. I mean, wet springs, hot July, August, and a lot of corn on corn, sharply lower yield. So, the plant used up that corn fairly quickly, so now the plant has to raise the basis levels to bring corn in from a distance, more further distance than that radius of 75 miles or 100 miles. So that's part of that, I think. And then, it just tells you the Eastern Corn Belt got hurt the most in the weather patterns the last couple of years. The larger crops are in the Western Corn Belt. And of course the Eastern Corn Belt, so a lot of the Eastern Corn Belt is, also goes export, and as also goes Southeast rail. So there seems to be more demand, and then you've got a lot of ethanol plants in the East. So, I think there's plenty of corn around, but a lot of it is primarily, Western Corn Belt, probably more so than Eastern Corn Belt.
Right, right. But when you look at the even of the Western Corn Belt and your cedar and Cedar Rapids, where another big plant is, aren't they playing overs as well? Correct.
So, well, I haven't looked at those pits. So, I imagine we're pretty strong.
Yeah,
There's no doubt about that.
Here's really the question I was trying to drive at is that the futures market is underpriced, and I guess I'm not certain that that's the case, but I'm going to take a stab at this. The futures market may be underpriced, and if the job of bases is to manage flow so that we get to the end of the year with corn in the bin, then futures are underpriced and across the board, and we can roll corn through, and we will have corn left. Would you agree or disagree with that idea?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we don't know until we see those March numbers. I think that March
grain
number is going
right.
to be, yeah, grain stocks number is going to be more accurate than the first grain stocks report because we're halfway through the marketing year. So the variability of those estimates are going to be, much closer or much narrower. And I think we're going to get some answers to that. But, yeah, I mean, it's an unusual year. But basis is kind of a local function, too. You know, it's a local function. And you know, when you get around those big plants, they use a lot of grain. So they have to pull grain in from a distance, and that's what that basis is trying to do. Now, the futures market is a little different. My guess is that if it looks like we're going to be real skinny at the end of the year after that March report, probably what you'll see then is that July contract really gain. What people will do will be to buy that July contract with anticipation to take delivery on that to meet late year inventory. So that'll be the real key. And at that point, then July contract may lead the pack higher, and basis then would probably you'd go from a over to maybe an under, depending upon which location needs the cash grain and how the delivery process plays out.
Dan, thanks so much. Have a safe trip back to Decatur.
Thank you.
All right, Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. He's our regular Thursday analyst here on the Closing Market Report. He's one of the many reasons that you should dial this number now, 217-244-9455. We come to you periodically and say, you know what, we need your help. We're public radio. We have commercial affiliates. If you're listening to one of our radio stations, doesn't matter where or how, we need your help, and we really do, because 40% of the budget that operates this program comes from you, our listeners, and we'd like you to be there with us. Now, not everybody is, but you probably should be. So $120. Let's start there, but less is fine. More is fantastic. Whatever it is, just dial in right now. Please do that. It's 217-244-9455. It really is important that you help us out. And if you do today, the folks at the co-op, Common Ground Food Co-op they'll donate a little extra to the Eastern Illinois Food Bank, and you'll get double bang for your buck, and so will we. We'll talk more about that in the second half of our program.
Support for Stock and Commodity Reports on Illinois Public Media comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, now hosting risk management seminars. A complete list of seminars is at sfarmmarketing.com.
Common Ground Food Co-op in Lincoln Square Mall. Community-owned since 1974, Common Ground is a full-service grocer featuring organic and local foods grown right here in Illinois. More information is on their website at www.commonground.coop.
Up next, the latest edition of In My Backyard with Lisa Brault. She says that local growers are waiting, pining, and planning for spring.
My friend Kristen in Brooklyn, New York, recently told me via Twitter that she couldn't wait to retire to her bed with a Sharpie and a bunch of seed catalogs. And a photo of actor Ryan Gosling captioned, "Hey girl, let's spread all those seed catalogs you got in the mail all over the bed and just circle stuff we want all night long," has been making the rounds on my version of the internet. Fantasizing about seeds has gone viral in 2012. But that's what's part of the fun with seed catalogs for us, right? I mean, we can retire to bed and circle as much stuff as we want. The sting of the previous season's failures has faded from memory, and the catalogs pop with color at precisely the time we lack any at all here in central Illinois. Added bonus, there is no responsibility when circling stuff in a catalog. It doesn't matter if it would look stupid in the yard or is inappropriate for the climate. We don't have to commit. We are not clicking the order button. We can go crazy. For growers, there's no such thing as a seed catalog fling. While we've been goofing around, here are two guys in Urbana who have already ordered the seeds that will grow vegetables for a lot of people in Urbana-Champaign this year. In fact, they were thinking about this year's food last year.
I'm always thinking about the next season.
That's John Chernis. He owns Blue Moon Farm, 17 acres in Urbana, Illinois, and sells produce to local restaurants and grocery stores, but does most of his business selling directly to shoppers at Urbana's Market at the Square. It's January. His potatoes have been ordered since last November, and he's getting ready to order everything else on this mild but windy and gray day. He has a laptop, a scale, and a huge pile of seed catalogs on the counter, mobile phone at the ready, and he's got tomatoes on his mind. They're an important crop to him personally, and they're something Blue Moon is well known for. I ask him how many tomato plants he'll get in the ground this season, and he estimates 7,000 or 8,000. They all get started in the basement of his house. This I have to see. So we're heading down into the basement.
To the basement.
Just where everything
Everything
gets started down here.
So I have an old refrigerator here, seed.
Oh, okay, so everything is stored in an old, this old fridge.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay.
Table.
I guess that's one way our operations are alike. On the other side of town, Zach Grant runs a sustainable student farm at the University of Illinois, which grows food for U of I dining services as well as the farm's farm stand on the quad during market season. It's a smaller operation than Blue Moon's, but it's pretty mighty. And Zach is trying to figure out which new vegetables he can grow this season. He describes the scene in his office.
Well, right now I'm surrounded by my computer with spreadsheets from production plans for previous years, records of yields from previous years, sheets of seed weights from previous years, just all sorts of different data and record-keeping things that I've kept track of over the past couple of years, and then the current spreadsheet of this upcoming year. And so I'm surrounded by that with seed catalogs and calendars with dates on them and little bits of information that are trying to help me put this all together to make sense.
Technology obviously plays a pretty big role in how these guys do this winter work. There's no circling of fun stuff here. Everything ordered and planted and harvested is saved in spreadsheets from year to year, and data is tweaked according to changes in planting area and amount of seed left over from the year before. It's not the leisure browsing and dreaming we do. Planning to feed people is serious work. And even though it's the beginning of another farming year, these guys really have no off season. This home gardener feels like a total slacker. I guess it's time to click that order button. This is Lisa Braltz for In My Backyard.
Our thanks go to Lisa Braltz and Dave Dickey for putting together the In My Backyard segments. You can always find them online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. Dial this number, 217-244-9455. Do that right now and pledge your financial support. It's important to us. On the phone line is Matt Bennett. He's a TGM in Windsor, Illinois. Actually, Matt is right here on campus today. Matt, thanks so much for taking the time out of your schedule. I know you're meeting with the Illinois Ag Leadership folks in the library. Hope that went well. You were talking about international trade. Yeah, a quick view, Matt, from you, and we have maybe 40 seconds or so about USDA's reports this morning.
Well, to be honest with you, I thought it was pretty much a non-event, you know, especially compared to a lot of the other reports that we've seen. As far as the world carryout kind of got adjusted on corn like we thought it would, and on beans as well, and I think we might see a little more further revision downward in the corn world carryout numbers, but I don't think the bean numbers will get revised down. So, I mean, that's kind of my short take on it.
Okay, so just a one-word answer, would you be a seller of new crop and old crop corn at this point?
I think that if a guy hadn't sold much, one-word answer, you said yes.
Okay, thanks so much. That's Matt Bennett. Matt Bennett is with TGM. He's in Chicago. We'll say goodbye to some of our radio stations. For the rest of you, back in just 2 minutes.
It's National Bagels and Lox Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1870, the creation of the U.S. National Weather Service was authorized by Congress and placed under the guidance of Cleveland Abbey, who had the unique skill of being the only person in the nation who had experience drawing weather maps from telegraphic reports and predicting the weather from them. Abbey is generally known as the father of the U.S. Weather Bureau. In 1889, the United States Department of Agriculture was established as a cabinet-level agency. In 1894, Hershey's Chocolate Company was founded as a subsidiary of Milton S. Hershey's Lancaster Caramel Company. And in 1901, Fred Harvey died in Leavenworth, Kansas. Born in 1835 in London, Frederick Henry Harvey operated a chain of restaurants called the Harvey House and a series of railroad dining cars and hotels. The restaurants were opened along the route of the Atchison, Topeka and Santa Fe Railroad and were staffed by Harvey girls, who over the years numbered in the thousands. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. Naturally, we'll talk with Pete Leavitt, agricultural meteorologist, about the global weather forecast. Hi, Pete. How are you today?
I'm good, Todd.
You know, it looks like finally it's going to get really cold here, although I'm not looking very forward to that.
I know it's been a long wait, and for a lot of us, I think we've been just as relieved to have the relative mildness we've had so far this winter. But that's going to end this weekend. We've got some, I guess, the last day of moderate temperatures today, generally in the 30s, but cloudiness is creeping into northwest Illinois, has moved across central and eastern Iowa today, and that's going to put the damper on any of the heating, and we're going to get that cold frontal system up over the upper Midwest coming southeastward in the next 48 hours. It'll move through central Illinois tomorrow around midday, so we won't be too cold starting off the day, probably mostly in the 20s, getting up into the 30s again. But then as the cold front moves by, temperatures will be sharply colder. We'll get down into the low teens and maybe some single numbers by Saturday morning, and even a few degrees colder by Sunday morning. So we'll see some single numbers and some low single numbers in some of the places in northern Illinois. Along with this, because the lakes are still open, that means that they haven't frozen over this winter, we're going to get a good opportunity for lake effect snowstorms in northeastern Illinois tomorrow and tomorrow night, and that'll shift southeastward as the wind gradually shifts to a more northwesterly direction. They'll pick up those heavy snow along the coastal areas of Indiana. Some flurries further south and east in Illinois, probably down about as far as I-70, but nothing important down that way. And then we'll see some snow, more general snow, developing from southern Illinois northeastward through Indiana and Ohio. Later on Sunday, we think that'll stay mostly south of central northern Illinois and the rest of the western Midwestern states.
About a minute and a half left here, Pete. Can you talk to me about hard freezes? So we really kind of need things to the soils to freeze kind of deep to make sure that we get a lot of pests taken care of. How concerned should we be that that doesn't actually happen this winter?
The absence of a hard freeze, I think we get a pretty good hard freeze with this system and the ones to follow. This is, I think, the first of a few good high-pressure systems coming down. I don't see the temperatures recovering much over the long term, the cold weather will last about only 2 or 3 days, this first impulse, and then it'll get milder. But I think we'll see another good belt of cold air following. And keep in mind, of course, without snow cover, the cold air affects the ground. You get a snow cover down, and that's what keeps the soil relatively mild. In terms of having Arctic air above a snow cover. The snow insulates the soil, and then you're not going to get the cold temperatures down there as nature's own pesticide for the wintertime. The absence of snow cover, I think, will help, and I think you'll get some freezing temperatures down. And I don't think the winter is over by a long shot.
Hey, thanks so much.
Uh-huh, my pleasure.
That's Pete Leavitt, agricultural meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. We'll say goodbye to more of our radio stations, those folks that listen to us out of Clinton and Taylorville and Kewaunee and out of Charleston on some of our commercial affiliates. For the rest of you, stay with us. We'll talk a bit more about what you need to do in the next 20 minutes or so.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection,